This podcast is brought to you by the patrons at patreon.com. To support this show, please visit patreon.com/KeithBurgun. Hi there, welcome to the Clockwork Game Design Podcast. This is episode 4, where I'm going to be talking about violence in games, and also going through a lot of reactions from the community that I've gotten after writing a bunch of big articles on the topic. So this is one of the subjects that I feel actually this medium of podcasts and just being able to like riff on a subject, I feel like I can explain my position on violence in games best in this medium probably. I've written 4 or 5 articles on it, all of which I'll link in the show notes. But I don't know. I just feel like I'll be able to hopefully convince people, more people, with this episode of my positions than I have necessarily been able to with my articles. I'm not really sure why that is, but I just feel like it's something that it's kind of a very weird sort of nuanced topic. It's not as like functional, like here, therefore this. It's more like a lot of between the lines stuff and things that aren't so black and white. I guess I would start out by saying violence is bad. And like, we all know that violence is bad. That's like a pretty not contentious subject. I think that there's some degree of gradient of belief about violence when it comes to like extreme situations. I mean, most people think that violence is, you know, necessary in some situation. Very few people would say, you know, even if someone's going to like kill you and torture your family and stuff, you shouldn't defend yourself. Slightly less common than that are views like, you know, violence, you should only use it in cases of self-defense, but there might be some situations where, you know, I would punch someone in the face because they're being a jerk or because they hit on my girlfriend, or, you know, there are some situations wherein like vengeful violence is okay, or, you know, like righteous aggressive violence is okay. There are a pretty decent amount of people, actually, I would say, that if they don't hold that view sort of affects their brain. Like it, they may never consciously think it, but it's like there. And I guess that's really that type of person, or I don't want to say that type of person, because I kind of think that almost everyone has a little bit of that element in them. And it's very hard not to, because of the culture that we live in. Our culture is very much, you know, about, it's a very aggressive kind of culture. The movies that we watch and even the music we listen to, and certainly the video games that we play, all tend to revolve around, especially the biggest ones, some kind of aggressive violence and some kind of, you know, the implicit message is that this is cool violence. It's very like glamorous violence. And that's what I talk about a lot in these articles, is the glorification of violence, or it's the acceptance of like aggressive violence, or it's the romance for even necessary violence. So that's another aspect, is sometimes violence is necessary. That's fine. I can accept that. I don't like it though. And I don't think people should be celebrating that. I mean, that's not something to celebrate. That's like a tragedy. That's like a really, that's like, you know, things have already failed. Like all of our normal attempts to communicate and to connect with each other and do all the things that, you know, human beings do at their best have already failed. And now we're in a situation where it's like kill or be killed. And that's already like a horrible, tragic failure. And it's not something glorious. It's not good. And I suppose there's a larger philosophical point of view there, but I don't think it should be that hard for most people to accept that premise, that we're at our best when we're understanding each other. I think this is a very common view. People are at their best when they connect. They figure out a way to come to an understanding. And you know, and compromise and figure out solutions that aren't just, you know, I'll kill you or you kill me and whoever wins gets their way. I think, and you know, what's funny is like, it's so like obviously that it's to me, it's very obvious that that is actually the way to think. But I feel like I have to defend it because I get so many responses from people that sound like they're actually saying that we should glorify violence. And indeed, I have actually met people on the internet who literally say, like, they have this fantasy about being this like heroic justice warrior who's gonna come and kill the bad guys. And you know, they actually, on some level, they really accept the myths of the media that they've been sold their whole lives. And that's the thing. So like that type of person is pretty rare, that they like outwardly accept it. But I think that we all kind of struggle with it. And I can certainly say that I've struggled with it over the years. I mean, I'm a white middle-class male who was raised on action movies and action TV shows and comic books and, of course, video games. So to me, the idea that violence is cool was just sort of the background noise of culture. And there was always this kind of rub between, you know, I've never been a violent person, as in, like, I've never gotten into a fight, really, or and I've certainly never, like, aggressively tried to start a fight. But there's always been this rub between, like, I think it's really cool that this guy, like, beheaded this other guy or something. But, you know, when I actually think about that and I think about, like, you know, what should the laws be in the country? Should we have things like capital punishment, and how should we think about torture and those kinds of things? You know, it's like those things are just totally terrible and they're not at all cool. And, you know, people have, the first thing that people will say is, well, it's fantasy. You know, it's video games, movies, all this stuff. It's just fantasy. And so it's okay. It's completely isolated from reality. But I feel like, first of all, I don't think that means anything. I mean, we're presenting images. We're sending messages. The brain is hearing us, you know, and yes, you can intellectually know, yes, this is a fantasy, et cetera, but you're still on some level, if you're watching like an action movie, you're accepting the premises like, this is cool. You know, it's so cool how that guy just wasted that dude with a gun. On some level, you have to accept that to like enjoy that scene. If you are looking at that and you're like, ugh, this is like gross, which is how I've kind of come to be only in the last few years, then the scene just doesn't work. And so it like really relies on you accepting that this kind of stuff can be cool. One thing I love on this topic that's happened recently, and it makes me feel like I can really kind of go after this so much better, is the whole feminist movement in video games especially. And how I feel like the feminist movement over the last 2-3 years has just completely won the argument. I mean, they're right, for sure, 100%, but they've also won. Not always does the side that's correct win. In this case, they kind of have won the debate pretty handily. There are still some, like, angry, horrible, hateful, you know, sexist stuff on the internet, and there will be for a long time. But in terms of, like, the mainstream dialogue, I think that feminists have completely won, and that's awesome. But one really cool thing, a side effect to that, is the fact that they won opens a door for other messages like the one I'm talking about with violence. Because, you know, this, I think that if people accept this idea that the presentation of images, even if it's in the context of fantasy, matters. That, you know, if you're showing someone, if you're just showing women in just scantily clad armor, like boob armor all the time, and sending the message that they're all just basically sex objects, they're just there to be collected and, you know, there to be won and conquered, that sends a message. And it doesn't matter that it's fantasy. The message is still there. It's still being heard loud and clear by everyone's brains. And it still is having that negative impact. And so we need to change it. And I feel like people have, you know, people kind of fought that. There was sort of a battle about that. And there are still people yelling about that. But for the most part, I think that we've won on that message, that it doesn't matter that it's fantasy. The message gets through whether it's fantasy or not, and so it's important that we address it. Once we've accepted that premise, that messages matter, that messages have impact, and that we should actually be kind of conscientious about what kinds of messages we're sending, well, now that does open other doors. And like, some people are like, oh, slippery slope, horrible. I would say it's a good slippery slope, because it's kind of like a slippery slope towards progress, towards actually better messages, and which will then inform and fuel a better generation of people. So it does open that door for me to say, and unfortunately, there's not many other people saying this. As far as I can find, I think I'm maybe the only like prominent writer who's really writing about video game violence in this way. But basically, my idea is messages matter. You know, we've already accepted that with sexism, and now it's time to accept that with violence. That's basically my core message. And I think that violence glorification is just as important that we get rid of it. Actually, I feel weird saying it, because I am a guy, so the sexism issue doesn't affect me as much. And so, you know, I kind of can't really say how necessarily whether one is more or less important than the other. But what I can definitely say is that violence glorification affects everyone. And not only does it affect everyone, but it's not as like direct as sexism, the effects of it, but they are like more profound, and they are, you know, possibly like existential threat type of things. I write in my articles about how like our relationships with things like war, and how we think of like our criminal justice system, how we either decide to be compassionate or not, I think is all kind of informed by this good guys, bad guys, violence glorification message that we've had hammered into us since we were little, especially males. So yeah, the basic idea is that media communicates messages, and if those messages are harmful, are like negative, and then we're going to be producing people who have these like kind of bad ideas. I do think that people who are really embracing action, violent stuff are probably a little bit more likely to kind of be okay with the death penalty. They're probably a little more likely to be okay with torture. They're probably a little more likely to be okay with starting a war. They're probably a little bit more likely to be okay with very harsh criminal justice outcomes, you know, like life sentences and like these crazy penalties that we put on people. And of course, there's a large conversation about what needs to happen with those things. And those are all complicated issues. And I'm not trying to say, oh, I just have it solved or anything like that. But I do think that there is a propensity in our culture, which I think is kind of is a violent culture. I would also bring up, you know, things like mass shootings and just gun violence in general. And I would say that part of our sort of romance, Part of those problems is probably our romance for the gun-toting, like, renegade dude, you know? That myth does kind of inform, I think, that problem a little bit. So, like I said, I wrote a bunch of articles on this topic. The two that I'm mostly going to be talking about, the two most recent, were one that I wrote for Polygon.com, called, it has kind of a long title actually, but the title that Polygon actually selected was Stop Worrying About Video Game Violence and Start Worrying About Dehumanization. I think I was going to call that something more just like dehumanizing violence in video games, something like that. But I don't know, they have their own little like naming scheme at Polygon. So there was that article, and that got a lot of comments, about 138 comments. I also posted my Beyond the Pentakill article. I posted that one on my site at keithbergon.net, and I also posted it at Game of Sutra, and it got a bunch of comments at both places. The idea, I'm going to run through the Beyond the Pentakill concept first. So over the last couple of years, I've been playing League of Legends, and I don't, you know, I don't really talk too much about like what games I think are good and what games I think are bad. I mostly am not satisfied with any games that exist, but I do think that League has, over the last few years, been making some pretty progressive changes, and I like their leadership. I like what they're trying to do, and I do think that probably all things considered, even though I have just like huge problems with that game, and actually I just wrote an article about like my suggested patch list, and that is by no means close to comprehensive. There's, you know, I said at some point I actually want to make a game sort of in that genre, and you will see that the amount of things I would change about that are just massive. But with all that said, I do think League is, you know, it's one of the only games I play these days, and I think it's, you know, probably one of the best competitive games that's out there right now. So I've been playing it, and one thing that I've been noticing is a couple of things about sort of dynamics about how the game frames kills, which is really a weird thing. It's this weird vestigial thing because, you know, the game isn't about getting kills. It's about, I mean, kills are a thing, sort of, like, but it's mostly about just doing objectives, and those the primary objectives are destroying towers. And there's a few other objectives too, but the core of the game is pushing lanes back till you get to their nexus and destroy their nexus, which is like their, you know, their end zone sort of thing. And so kills are, they give you like gold, which is like, you know, just your basic power resource. But they're not like a core thing. Like you can win a game with fewer kills. That's possible to do. But the game really frames them as like super, super important. It's weird. I think they've been struggling with that a little bit. But one thing that there's something to be explored there in terms of like, well, what should the role of kills be, etc. But one thing I'm really sure about that they shouldn't do is this whole double kill, triple kill, quadruple kill, pentakill thing, where they not just, you know, pile on this like extra feedback for getting kills, but getting 3, 4, 5 kills in a small amount of time, they just make this like big celebration about it. It's like, it almost feels like, oh, that was the real game you were playing, was get the pentakill game. And then you won if you did that. So that's a little strange. So just, you know, not even thinking about violence or anything. But then I was thinking like, also that beyond just being strange because it's like this other goal, it's also a kind of ugly, and the whole idea of like thematically that we're like killing each other and that it's like glorifying that. And there's this like lady who does this like excited voice talking about kill, you know, like that's it's very strange. And then we get so confused when people are like aggressive to each other. And I think that the game, you know, there's a ton of reasons for why people are aggressive to each other online, of course, on anonymity. You can't, you know, that's obviously a huge reason. The fact that it's just competitive inherently, there might be a little bit of something there. But I also think that the theme, the fact that we're like these macho men killing each other, that contributes, you know, and things like pentakill and, you know, I think that, that aspect is something that should be looked into. I think that you could just remove that entire thing of double kill, quadra kill, all that stuff, and the game would be completely fine. And honestly, I think it might actually improve the way that players feel, you know, because the idea of a pentakill is like the idea of a kill, period, is you're like, there's something kind of inherently negative about it, in that like you're removing this person from play. So it's very direct. It's like you two people are fighting and I killed you and I removed you from play. And they use the kill metaphor and everything, and it's like inherently kind of like mean feeling. I don't know what the right word is for it, but it's like, it's just kind of like it's kind of like negative. That might be okay, but then like on top of it, there's this idea of like there's a few there's a I think it's it's Darius's ult. That's like this, like slam you into the ground kind of thing. It's like very much like a football spike, but with a giant sword kind of motion. Extremely aggressive and extremely kind of demeaning. And like, that's supposed to be part of the fun of it, is that it's like this, like kill you, you know, like kind of thing. And then when you add like pentakill on there, it's like, there's this whole concept of domination that the game just doesn't need. It doesn't need that at all. And that's there. And that kind of makes everyone feel like already like in this feeling of like, I need to dominate or I'm going to get dominated. They have like this fear. And I think that's really like bad, especially for like the audience. The audience is like a bunch of young males who are kind of insecure and stuff, and they're really just like looking for something to make them feel like they're valuable and they're tough and they're good and skilled and stuff. And now they're in this arena and these guys are trying to like do this, you know, football spike, like disrespectful kill motion on them, and then like call them a noob or something. And, you know, there's just that like, that dynamic there. And, you know, I could accept the argument that that's going to be there no matter what in any competitive game. Fine. But like, let's not help it along with the theme. Let's not like encourage it. And, you know, I bring up League of Legends because they've been making such efforts to minimize that kind of stuff. They've had all these different systems they've been trying to use. They have this tribunal system, they have these honor points rewards, now they're trying other stuff. They really care about making the atmosphere good and like feel positive and stuff. And so it's just like this huge rub to me that they also have this pentakill, like just gross stuff in there, like thematic stuff. Another thing is like, I turned off all the voice acting in the game, because it's just way too awful and terrible and like just, it's the worst. I really can't stand it. But there's one area that you can't turn it off in, and that's in Champion Select. You just can't turn off the voices there, so I'm forced to hear what characters say. And it's like, a lot of them are just like really like gross, just like really, a lot of them are like, I'm gonna kill you or something, like just like these like aggressive, like cool / aggressive, violent, horrible, like I'm gonna murder them all. Like that basically could be a clip from the game. It's not, but they're all along those lines. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, why do we need to like set, why is that the tone we want to set? I would say that it's definitely just because that's what you do in fantasy stuff. And, you know, that's how they talk in fantasy, high fantasy in like video games. That's just the language that we have. And it wasn't really questioned. I don't think that they had like an overall philosophy on it. I think it was just vestigial. And now they're kind of stuck with it a little bit. So, you know, I don't care what League of Legends does. That's fine. I just care that people in general for future games are thinking about like these lessons. Don't, you know, it's one thing to kind of have like a really competitive, like kind of already inherently remove you from the game, dominate kind of game, but don't like help that along with your theme. Do whatever you can with the theme to like minimize that and make it like more of a, you know, I have a vision for competitive games that they could be totally competitive, not at all like everyone's a winner, but also not, they could feel like something we do together. They don't have to feel like I'm going to dominate you and destroy you. I mean, Euro games are a decent example. Some sports are pretty good examples. There's some game design stuff in there, like making stuff less direct. And if you read my part 2 violence in video games article, I talk a little bit about how actually like the direct, you know, character removal type of verbs that we're used to, those probably aren't great for game design anyway, because of something that I've talked about in a previous episode, which is that players are a source of output randomness, and you want there to be a decent amount of distance between what players put into the game And so, like, you know, so I put in a move into the game. Now the other player needs to have at least a couple, some moments to like process that, okay, I've put that into the game. And now they have to be able to like have some time to deal with that information. So directness is bad on a game design level. And it's also, it really contributes to this like negative kind of emotional quality that is, you know, violent and just kind of gross. So I wanted to also talk about this other article, the dehumanization article on Polygon. And that one was about what I started this podcast talking about. Basically that, you know, the video games as they are, like most common video games, they're really like training simulators for learning to dehumanize people and learning to see people as bad guys. And I do think, I know, I in the same way that constantly seeing women as sex objects does kind of affect you a little bit, seeing people as bad guys kind of affects you a little bit. And again, it's not like you would think that there's really bad guys in the world necessarily, although some people do, but it may influence your opinion just a little bit when it comes time to vote for that slightly more hawkish candidate for president, or the slightly less hawkish, or, you know, when you're having a discussion about the death penalty, it might make you be like, yeah, but you know, some people are just bad people and they just need to be killed. I think it can inform that a little bit. And that was kind of my big thing that I was talking about with that article. The other thing I talked about was World War II a little bit, and how I think it also really primed us for the position we're in now with violence, because like we just kind of swooped in, like the whole action hero myth like kind of really happened in that war, sort of, at least from 70 years into the future. It really seems like we just came in there and like killed those evil Nazis and got it done, you know, and it's like the most perfect macho righteous story ever. And that's, you know, maybe that was good, but the thing is, we've also been left with this kind of glory regarding war that's taken us a long time to get over. And I think we're still not over it. And I don't know that we will be anytime soon, but I think it's a matter of degree. Hopefully we can get a little more over that. And so I was just talking about World War II and how much that has sort of impacted our psyche, Americans' psyche, on war and on violence. Because it's like, you know, I think that what the violence myth needs, like what the myths about violence really want, are like a perfect bad guy. It's like, you know, when you have a gun or something, you're just like, man, I really need like some like just awful person just come and like try to kill my whole family, and he's totally unreasonable, so that I could kill him with my gun, you know? Like that we, you know, and then like when you talk about the death penalty, people will always like sort of go to these extreme examples of like just like the most horrible person who's totally conscious of everything he's doing, and he says he's gonna do it again, and you know, like just like this giant list of qualities to create this perfect bad guy that we can kill. And it's like it becomes really clear that like people just want to kill someone, like they just want to have a reason to kill, and this perfect bad guy just gives them that reason. And I think Nazis were kind of that. You know, I'm not saying Nazis aren't bad guys. I mean, I'm not saying that they weren't terrible, but you know, I think that also, I don't think it's probably right to dehumanize them either. Or to dehumanize anyone really is never the answer. And so either way, Nazis were like our perfect example. Now, another thing that I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned in that article, but in general, I talk about zombies and how I think that zombies are another one of those things. Like I really want to like put a shotgun to someone's face and just pull the trigger and kill them. But I can't, you know, I can't do that to like a regular person. So here's these like basically people, they like look like people, but they're like, you know, completely unreasonable and they're literally dehumanized. And so I think that zombies, the existence of zombies and the extreme prevalence of zombies says a lot about like our motives. So yeah, zombies is another thing. You know, obviously little kids' cartoons and comic books and all this stuff where there's literally a bad guy and he's like just literally evil. So anyway, that was the dehumanization, article on Polygon. And that was cool. That was my first article on Polygon.com. So it was cool to get that opportunity. I will say that. And, you know, I think all things considered, the comments weren't too bad. So let's get into a few of them and talk about them. Groovy Lord says, do you think Lord of the Rings is toxic or, say, The Legend of Zelda? If not, what does any of this have to do with what should or shouldn't happen in fictional entertainment? I'll stop there for a second. Yes, I do think that that Lord of the Rings, Zelda, those kinds of things, even though they're kind of seen as like, oh, kind of cute and colorful and magical and stuff, they still have these ideas of like evil characters, and you just need to take a weapon in your hand and go and stab them to death. I mean, that's what those stories are about. Actually, I can't speak for Lord of the Rings as much, but I do know that Lord of the Rings has a lot of... I'm not a big Lord of the Rings person. I don't really know what the story is. I can talk more about Legend of Zelda. In that, Ganon is evil. You have to go and get a sword and then stab Ganon to death. That's what you have to do. So yeah, I mean, ultimately that's not as harmful as like probably Gears of War or like one of the like Mortal Kombat, something like that. But they both have the same kind of message, which is that ultimately there are bad people and you need to go kill them. And I think that counts for something. So yeah, I take back what I said about Lord of the Rings. I do know that there's a lot of war scenes in Lord of the Rings. Other people can kind of fill me in on exactly what happens in Lord of the Rings. I don't really know. But I would expect that given that it's popular in our culture, it probably glorifies violence. Going back to the comment. Talking about dehumanizing real people in reality, that's horrific stuff, yes. But it's not directly tied to what a video game does. People can separate fantasy from reality, and they're raised by their parents and ideally educated and learn to think for themselves as well. A game is not going to paint their worldview, at least not any well-adjusted person. Plenty of well-adjusted people enjoy all sorts of extreme entertainment. It's not reality, it's entertainment. Okay, so this is that argument that we had to deal with sexism in games. And I think we already kind of solved this issue, on at least for that topic. And maybe we have to resolve it for this one. Maybe we have to go back to that same old, you know, question about do messages in media matter or not? Maybe we have to revisit that. But I feel like for the most part, we've already accepted that with regards to the portrayals of women in games. And so we, you know, I don't think we should need to relitigate that for violence. So that would be my answer to that comment. And there was a lot of comments along those lines, of course. That's probably the number one complaint is it's not real, it's fantasy. So again, you know, you could say that same thing about portrayals of women in games, and you know, I just don't think that's true, and I think most people have accepted that that's not true. Here's another comment. Trooper 11 says, it's not about trying to pressure developers to censor themselves or to do what you want. It's about you seeking out the content you like and supporting it. If enough people support the same content, then it's likely more and more developers will put out content catering to your tastes. At the same time, I think it's very silly to call out people that like certain genres over others. Let people feel comfortable enjoying the games they like. So that's the idea there, is basically don't talk about like social change. Just don't even you're not allowed to mention it. Or I don't know if he's saying, I think he is kind of saying you shouldn't mention it. He's not saying it's not, I don't think he's saying whether or not it's effective to mention it. He's just saying you shouldn't. You should instead use the method of just buying the things that you like, you know, vote with your wallet, that kind of a thing, argument. I would just say we can do both. We can vote with our wallet, and we can also write articles, persuasive essays that try to persuade other people of our points of view. I get a version of this comment all the time. Basically it's don't write persuasive essays. That's the comment. Don't try to persuade people of a position. And, you know, I mean, I just totally disagree. I think that you should try to persuade people. If you have a position and you think it's strong and you think you could persuade people, you should go and use your words and explain why you think your position is right. I would encourage this guy to do the exact same with his position. Now he says it's silly to call out people that like certain genres over others. This isn't about genre at all. You can have any of the genres that exist. I think that you could make a or at least vastly less violence glorifying version of that genre game. Let people feel comfortable enjoying the games they like, he says. You know, it's kind of like, what if there was, let's take a more extreme situation. Let's say if there was some, you know, raping children game, or something along those lines. Some like Nazi propaganda game. I think that we would all kind of speak up about those sort of things. And I think that even this guy would be like, you know, of course we should let people play whatever they want. We should let people make whatever they want. I'm not calling for censorship, and that's something I have to say over and over and over again. But letting people feel comfortable suggests that we can't even criticize things because it might make them feel uncomfortable. And I totally disagree with that. I think that making people feel uncomfortable about certain things is absolutely necessary. So as an example, like recently there was this whole kerfuffle about the Confederate flag. And, you know, the Confederate flag, there are a lot of people who still are, you know, have a lot of identity tied up in that flag and love it a lot. And by criticizing them and pointing out that this is kind of a symbol that for a lot of people represents some very ugly things in our culture, that probably made those people who love the Confederate flag feel uncomfortable. But sometimes you just have to make people feel uncomfortable. That's just part of progress, unfortunately. Anytime you kind of say anything, the people who disagree are going to kind of feel uncomfortable. So this is sort of a weird argument that is very anti-conversation, anti-progress, and I very much disagree with that way of thinking. Another comment, Itchy Rich says, finding and selling mechanics that are not violent might be hard. I believe that's just a part of his comment. Yeah, maybe it might be hard. But lots of things are hard, and I don't think that something being hard is a good enough reason not to do it. We have good reasons to pursue these other mechanics, or not necessarily even other mechanics, but other representations of mechanics. We're really talking about a lot of things like theme, you know, like the pentakill thing. Like, we could remove that from League. It doesn't require creating a new mechanic. That would be a step in the right direction in terms of violence representation. And on the other, at the same time, I find it funny when people say that finding new mechanics might be hard. I mean, we have such a, like, pinhole light view of what is possible in terms of mechanics in video games. So much is possible that we're not even like touching. We're just doing mostly the same kinds of games over and over and over again. So anytime anyone says, oh, it might be hard to come up with mechanics that are like that, like that meet those criteria, that's just like shows a massive lack of imagination, really. Okay, so another comment. This one's from Cymbeline. Personally, I don't think that we need to eliminate violent games in order to address the problem of violence by way of dehumanization. I think what we need is to have some very real conversations about that dehumanization alongside our violence. We need games that portray violence realistically to portray it fully realistically. That's actually what the comment says. Yeah, so I know what that person is saying, and I agree, and that's actually what I've been saying, and that was the title of the article is Forget About Violence in Video Games, the Problem is the Glorification of or Dehumanization. And then I guess maybe this is this commenter's way of agreeing with me, but either way, I'm not, to clarify, I do think that it's okay to represent violence in games and in movies and in books and in everything else. But I do think that we should represent it in a way that is kind of like true. We should not be glorifying it. We should be, when we show violence, it should be like, that's a tragic event because that is what that is. You know, it's, and I can see how people might think like, oh, that sounds weird. Like, shouldn't you be able to do anything in like media and stories and stuff? But no, and you don't think that either, because think about like if there was a story that like said the like sort of the moral of the story, or like it had this message in the movie that said that like black people are inferior to white people or something, like everyone would be like, no, absolutely not. Like we're not making a movie that says that. Like, that would be totally decried as like not what movie filmmakers should be doing, because it's wrong. Like it's incorrect and it's morally wrong. And it hurts our society for people to be making films about black people being worse than white people or something like that. So this is the exact same thing. You can portray violence, but portraying the message that violence is cool is like offensive in the exact same way that when you know, something was a horrible racist or horrible sexist message. It's wrong. It's morally wrong. And, you know, people should respond to it in that same way. And I think in time that will start to become the case. Let's see. So just to be clear, I'm not saying you can't represent violence. I'm just saying you can't, or I'm saying you shouldn't, glorify violence. And that's a difference. I do give the example in, one of my articles of, Breaking Bad, which is a show that I really like a lot. And, it does show violence, and only in a couple of times, I would say it does kind of glorify violence. Particularly if you've watched the show, there's this couple of Mexican brothers, and I think that the way they're portrayed and their violence is portrayed is a little bit violence glorification-y. But other than that, I think it does a great job of making violence look really tragic and terrible, and so I have no problem with it at all. Okay, so here's another one from Harris Zero. While I do agree with many aspects of this piece, especially how black and white games often tend to portray conflicts, I'm still waiting for the first FPS that makes me think about who I am shooting before I am pulling the trigger. That was all in parentheses. It's ignoring why violence is so often being employed as a gameplay mechanic. Simply put, games still aim to be fun, another parentheses, and there is nothing wrong with fun, closed parentheses. And one of the easiest ways to generate fun is to provide a competitive setting. So there's a lot to unpack in that comment. So he says, I'm still waiting for the first FPS that makes me think about who I am shooting before I'm pulling the trigger. That's a really weird statement. Because like the thing is, if you're thinking about who they are, then A, it seems to me that you have enough time and like sort of flexibility sort of to maybe not kill them. And also having to think about who they are, like makes, like, why would you want to kill them? If you are actually thinking about them as a human being and not dehumanizing them, you wouldn't want to kill them. And then he goes into this thing about fun, and it's like, so wait, you're saying I'm like having sympathy for these people and like, and feeling for them as human beings while I'm killing them, and yet that's fun? Like, how would that be fun? That would, you know, the way that violence is typically fun is through dehumanization. These are not human beings. These are just pieces of trash, and I'm the one throwing them out, you know, like this tough guy. I can see how that's fun. I can't see how, like, oh, God, you know, this is a person, and they have a they have a family and they maybe they have kids and stuff, but they've put me in this awful position where I actually have to kill them. This is like terrible. That's not fun. Like, in what universe is that fun? And, you know, again, I sense a little bit from this comment, the lack of imagination. He sort of is saying that, you know, violence is being so often employed as a gameplay mechanic because it's fun, basically, he's saying. And I understand that because there haven't been a lot of non-violent video games that were fun. There are some, for sure. I mean, Tetris is a great example. And in the board game world, there's obviously way more examples. That's another thing that probably got me thinking down this road, is the fact that, like, you know, German board games are just, they're a lot of fun, and they're almost never, I've never played a single violent German board game. And if any of them do have violence, it's never like glorified violence at all. And, you know, I couldn't help but remember that, like, oh, well, you know, it's funny. They were on the opposite side of that whole World War II thing. So they got a very different narrative about war and about, like, you know, how cool violence is. And I think that they are, you know, they lost the war, but they kind of got this awesome gift of not having this weird curse that we have where we now think violence is like super cool. And so I think that's helped them a lot, in terms of, you know, I also think that that probably helped them think about different, like, if we just said, okay, we're not doing violent stuff anymore, I think actually would probably help designers start thinking outside of the box in terms of the old mechanics they've been doing, because a lot of designers just start with, okay, I have a guy, he shoots, you know, there's bad guys and he shoots them, and it's like, boom, you've already got like a huge amount of your design there already. So, you know, I think that that taking violence off the table actually does the exact opposite of what these commenters are saying it would do, which is it would open things up, not close things down. And he also mentioned a competitive setting. And you know, I have a lot to say about the relationship between competition and like dehumanization. And I think that some people think that there's a direct connection there, and I can see where they're coming from, but I think we can separate the two. And I think that some games even already that exist do. And I'll go back to German designer board games. If you want some examples, you know, Through the Desert, Puerto Rico, Agricola might not be a great example because it's kind of single player ish. It's really like multiplayer solitaire. A lot of those Euro games actually kind of have that issue going on, which is a different matter. But, you know, there are competitive games that aren't like, I'm going to kill you, that don't feel like that at all. And a lot of them in the board game world. Here's another comment I liked. Well, ironically liked. NB Selector says, I don't know why you care. You're not really shooting terrorists or winning the World Cup. You're just pressing buttons. All video games are stupid. Why should we care? And, I don't know. It's not a very productive comment. Definitely seems like a who cares sort of thing. But I do think that actually the reason I read that comment is because I do think it reflects some of the resistance, which is the resistance to this kind of progress, which is a lot of people just really don't have any respect for or regard for this medium. And they think it's all just like a bunch of stupid crap, and it will always be just a bunch of stupid crap, and don't take it seriously, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, again, doesn't matter how serious you take it. If it's a major medium in our lives, and you know, it's influencing people. So regardless, you don't have to take it seriously. If you play 2 hours of games a day, it's getting in there. You know, it's having an impact on you. And so, and certainly if you were raised on them, I mean, that definitely, if you're raising kids on video games, I was raised playing video games for sure. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether I care, whether I think video games are good or bad. I'm still right now, I'm digging myself out of this like violence glorification hole that I was brought up in. And it's really just like a form of brainwashing, that, you know, that we're basically brainwashed by culture to think that violence is cool in this culture. Here's another comment from Evil13RT. Quote, "The enemy is raping and pillaging and looting and so on. And while I know some of them are not evil, they might have been a good friends of mine under different circumstances. The current issue remains that I must choose between killing them or protecting my own." And so this is weird because he's saying, I like reading these comments because, you know, whenever I write an article like this, I get basically two responses. I get one type of, I get a lot of responses, but two of the biggest ones are, number one, what are you talking about? No one says this kind of stuff. You know, like all your counter arguments are to these like straw arguments that no one's really saying. And then the other kind of comment is just a bunch of people coming in and saying that exact stuff that I was saying that people say. So this is a good example of that, because this guy says, "And while I know some of them are not evil," so this guy actually accepts the idea that some people are actually evil. And I guess we would have to define the word evil. I generally think that the word evil is used to mean like magically bad, like just something about the core of a person is just irrevocably, they can't be fixed. They're meant to do bad and they'll always do bad. I think that's what evil generally means. That's what we reserve the word evil for. And that's certainly how I see that word. And so it's kind of weird. It's weird for him to say that. But then he does say, "They might have been good friends of mine under different circumstances. I must choose between killing them or protecting my own." So it's like he's kind of like conflating a situation in which, like a self-defense situation where he has to kill or be killed, basically. He's sort of using a kill or be killed scenario as a defense for like aggressive violence, I feel like. Because he's saying the enemy is raping and pillaging and looting and so on. And that just sort of feels like, you know, he's making a case for aggressive action, generally speaking. And so it's a little weird. I guess I can't really like nail him on anything there, but it does sound a little bit like he's trying to... People sometimes use self-defense as a way to justify aggressive action, which, you know, we've certainly seen that before in like foreign policy and stuff. In fact, anytime we go to war, it's almost always framed as like, well, if we don't go to war, they're gonna, you know, those evildoers are gonna just like destroy the world. So, that sort of has that ring to it to me. Okay, there's one more comment from Decuirola. "It's difficult to have a culture that doesn't glorify violence when even Mario kills Goombas, Pac-Man kills ghosts, and every character that blinks and disappears is considered killed. I think that violence is a language, a way of doing things, and therefore will always be one step away from glorifying it." And I kind of, you know, I agree with this comment. I think that it is difficult. Yeah. It is difficult to have a culture that doesn't glorify violence when we have this cultural background of like, you know, even Mario and Pac-Man, things that people wouldn't really normally think of as like violent games. And I think that a lot of people like their whole view is like, yeah, video games go from as violent as Mortal Kombat to as nonviolent as Pac-Man, when even Pac-Man kind of is a little bit like just a little slightest bit violent. And I wouldn't object to Pac-Man. Like if our world was just full of Pac-Man-y sort of level of violence, I wouldn't even be talking about this. But, you know, then you look at other things that are possible in the board game world. And, you know, it's like even Pac-Man is a little bit violent compared to those things. Either way, back to the point of this thing of violence being a language, a way of doing things. I agree. but it's not, we can change our language. Like, we actually have the ability to change the kinds of things that we make to influence each other, and things have changed. You know, it used to be that violence was the language in society, much more of a part of the language than it is now. We have a very nonviolent world as compared to 500 years ago or something. And so we've made changes there, and we will make changes in games as well. And it will be difficult. It will require people having a broad imagination about what kinds of interactions are possible, and what kinds of representations we can use. But the first step would be to kind of, you know, admit there's a problem. And that's where I am right now with writing these articles and having these discussions. And once we actually acknowledge, which I think this last commenter maybe has, once we kind of really acknowledge that, I think then it's just a matter of like sort of training ourselves to respond correctly when we see violence glorification. Over the last few years, I've grown sort of unable to enjoy like action movies, and that might sound like really, really terrible, because I know that everyone, especially in the video game world, just loves action movies. You know, but it's like even like the cutest, like campiest kind of action movies that are out now, like they still have this like, yeah, it's so cool to kill stuff thing. One example I have brought up elsewhere was the movie Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, generally is kind of like cartoony a little bit. It's just silly, has a kind of a light vibe, etc. It's not like, you know, it's not like a Gears of War tone or anything like that. It's got a light vibe, but it still has like these moments where I'm just like, ugh, gross. This is like very distasteful. And, you know, like there was that one part where that tree ant guy, the tree character, he just like shook his arm around down this hallway and like killed like 20 guys. And yeah, they're all like bad guys, but like he killed the people, and then like he like kind of like looks at the camera and does this like cool face, and that's just like really gross and really like wrong. And I was just, like, you know, it's kind of like when people tell a joke and the joke is terrible, that same feeling you get of just like disgust. It was kind of like that. Or it was kind of like if you were watching a movie and suddenly there was this propaganda for like the Nazi party or something, like just thing you're just like, what? Like, how, ew, what is this? You know, that disgust that you feel is like a social technology that's important. It's an important part of progress. And so I think, you know, in the same way, and if you look at the feminism issue and the representation of women in games, I think people have started to like develop that same kind of disgust for when they see women in like, you know, like little tiny bikinis that are like warriors. I think people have started to develop that disgust that they need to have towards those kinds of images. And it takes time, you know, because we've all kind of grown up seeing like bikini warriors our whole lives. And so it's like, it takes us a while to like we can first intellectually understand, okay, that is bad. But then like, it takes a while for it to like seep in that like, okay, yeah, that's really just distasteful. And that's a process that takes a while and it is difficult. But I hope that if we can at least convince some people of these points intellectually over time, we can actually make some progress and people can internalize this, and we will start seeing, like that one commenter said, the games that are coming out that are really violent, we will vote with our feet and we will like just not buy those games because they're gross. And people will write articles being like, this is disgusting, what is this horrible gross stuff, like, you know, like the new Mortal Kombat, no one really talked about that, but it's like, it's the most like distasteful thing ever. You know, I think eventually we'll see those kinds of games start being shunned, and they will either have to change or they will die off, and either way is fine by me. And so I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully, yeah, this is a bit of a long episode, but thank you for listening, and you know, let me know what you think in the comments, and I would be happy to respond to those comments, and maybe we'll talk about them in a future episode. So thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider becoming a patron by going to www.patreon.com/KeithBurgun. Thanks for listening.